Hi, everyone, and welcome to Pastor's Ponderings. I'm Pastor Kevin from the Hinton Alliance Church, and
I'm Pastor Ryan,
and we're here together to bring to you some thoughts and to revisit Sunday's message and hopefully maybe ponder a few things about it and maybe dig up a few other things that maybe we didn't have time to say in the service. And so this is our way of kind of rethinking and reshaping and wandering through the message and hopefully learning some new things. And I'm glad you're here, and I hope that you can enjoy the journey with us. And so we look forward to spending this next half hour with you. And Lord willing, you'll be blessed as well. Well, it is good to be back again.
Yes, it is.
And thank you for filling the pulpit on Sunday. Although I guess it's not really a pulpit, it's a music stand. it was great for me to get to be with my daughter and her husband as they moved into their first house.
That's exciting.
Yes.
Very exciting.
My legs are very sore. Yeah. And my back is sore. But it was worth it. And it was a quick trip there and a quick trip back to the Okanagan. But I knew that the church was in good hands. So thank you for studying up and for presenting a great message from the book of Ephesians, eh?
Yes.
You got kind of, I guess you got kind of swallowed up by the whole idea of redemption.
I did.
It is quite the story, I guess you'd say, mm-hmm. but also it is deep and wide and meaningful, and it makes one feel like they're worthy, mm-hmm. even though we're not.
That's right.
That's the whole point of redemption.
Yeah.
That we can't pay it, so someone paid it for us. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so tell me a little bit about your journey there. Were you able to unpackage it the way you wanted to? Was there some things you'd like to add now that you got some time mm-hmm. to chat a little bit about it?
Yeah, so when I started studying, just redemption kept sticking out mm-hmm. to me, and I couldn't get past it. And like I said on Sunday, it was, you know, I got stuck there in a good way.
Yeah.
As I started thinking and praying through what it actually meant to be redeemed, and started reading in Hebrews about, you know, from the Jewish perspective, all of their history was pointing forward to their ultimate redemption in Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. And I think one thing I didn't quite get to was they allowed the rules and the ceremonies and the regulation to blind them so that when Jesus did come, so many didn't recognize him.
Yeah.
So many, even, you know, so many of the religious leaders rejected him, and they were the ones that ultimately crucified him.
Yeah.
They had in their minds that they needed to follow rules, that they needed to be good enough. Mm-hmm. And the works and the legalism blinded them to mm-hmm. the free gift that Jesus was offering. Mm-hmm. I think in our lives, even as Christians, we can forget that Jesus has already paid the price for our sin.
Yeah, definitely.
We can get caught up in, oh, I need to do this, I need to do that. And mm-hmm, yes, mm-hmm. we are called to follow him. We're called to live righteous and holy lives. Right. But our salvation and our value isn't dependent on what we do.
Yeah.
And we can get in that mindset. And then I think that opens up the door to shame, where mm-hmm. it's, I'm not good enough.
Right.
And even though we know the gospel, even though we know that Jesus died for our sin, we can get caught in that trap of shame of saying, well, look at my life.
Yeah.
Look at what I've done. Look at what I'm still doing. Mm. Is Jesus's grace really enough for me?
Yeah.
And I think just like the Jewish people, the Israelites, who got so caught up in, we need to be cleansed, and so we need to follow these rituals, and they were blinded when it came to Jesus, we can get caught up in, we're called to be holy, we're called to be different, and so let me just work at it.
Yep.
Instead of, no, it's a person. It's Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. I like how you backgrounded the whole story with the cost being compared to the number of animals mm-hmm. that basically didn't do enough.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you said how over hundreds of years, all those lambs, all those bulls, all those birds that were slaughtered, because the graphic illustration of how death and blood had to cover sin. Mm-hmm. And then to find out after all that, it wasn't enough.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, that was a great way to sort of picture the backdrop of what redemption is. It's all about the cost.
Mm-hmm.
And like I know I've mentioned it before when I was preaching last week about how my brother and sister-in-law, they went and adopted a little fella from Taiwan.
Mm-hmm.
The cost is astronomical.
Oh, yeah.
You have to be so driven and committed to make it work.
Right.
Or you won't do it.
Yeah.
You know, and you got to follow through, and it's so expensive, and you just think it's another thing, another delay. It's another this, mm-hmm. another that.
Right.
And then at the end of the day, you know, it's a little bit like you're paying for a product.
Right.
You know, I hate to say it that way, but you get there and find out, well, the product isn't quite what you were thinking it was going to be or mm-hmm. whatever, but you just decide, no, we've put a lot of money into this.
Right.
We will love this guy.
Yes.
You know? And of course, you know, he's so cute. It wasn't like they had to learn to love him.
Right.
You know, he was just instantly just sort of absorbed into their whole world of love.
Mm-hmm.
But redemption is paying the cost and adoption. And there was no way that we could possibly have sacrificed enough
mm-hmm.
to somehow get into some good graces here with God. You know? I thought you did a great job of that. And I love how in Ephesians, he combines it all kind of in a big thought. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished.
Right.
You mentioned that.
Yes.
The whole idea of being lavished. And I thought, with all wisdom and understanding. And I thought to me, you know, like I saw when you were talking there, I saw in my mind's eye the idea that because the limitation of the bulls and the blood and the sacrifice of the Old Testament wasn't even close,
mm-hmm.
but the Lamb of God coming and actually filling the gap and fulfilling what was missing
right. mm-hmm.
was the lavish part.
Mm-hmm.
So as big as it is, like as big as the numbers of bulls that were sacrificed,
right?
And it was only for a certain group of people,
mm-hmm.
right? That too. It was only for the Jewish people.
Right.
It wasn't for the world.
No.
It was just for the Jewish people. And then Jesus comes and he fills that gap. And you think, okay, it's for the world now. You think about that describes lavishness. That's way beyond what was necessary in that sense.
Yeah.
Or, you know, because it was from God himself.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved what you did there. I thought it was really good to kind of dig a little deeper into that whole idea of being bought.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's talked about. It doesn't get a lot of airtime, I don't think.
No.
Like comparing it, because I think you're right. I think most people tend to sort of degrade themselves eventually. Like, mm-hmm. You know, I've blown it so many times.
Right.
The focus is nowhere near what he's saying here.
Not at all.
It's all paid for. Stop trying to pay for it again, you know? It's already been paid. Stop trying to pay the bill. Yeah, for sure. Anything else that you thought you wanted to run through this whole gamut of unpackaging?
Right. Well, Sunday, I didn't have enough time to really focus in on the inheritance that we have.
Right. Yes.
I know I touched on it. You know, we were saved from something mm-hmm. to something else. We were redeemed from sin for an inheritance.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But what is that inheritance?
Yeah.
What exactly is that inheritance?
Right.
And, you know, you spoke on this the week prior when you said that you pointed to that we have every spiritual blessing mm-hmm. in the heavenly places in Christ.
Yeah.
And, you know, it isn't just that Jesus took us from, you know, out of a bad situation and, you know, placed us in just kind of a mediocre position.
Right.
He took us out of a horrendous situation
mm-hmm.
and took us to the very opposite extreme of a great, phenomenal position mm-hmm. of being adopted as children of God
mm-hmm.
and all of the blessing and all the inheritance that comes with that.
Yeah.
And, you know, when we think of, you know, forgiveness, I think in our human frail understanding of it, so many times we say we forgive somebody, but whatever we have forgiven can still affect the relationship that we have with that person, whether it's a break in trust or whatever it might be. Those things that happen can still create a bit of a barrier in that relationship.
True. Yeah.
Whereas in Christ, he doesn't just forgive us, but still see that sin, still see, you know, I still remember what you did. Mm-hmm. But he takes us to the furthest extreme of, I think it's in the Psalms where it says he throws our sin as far as the east is from the west. Mm-hmm. And he remembers our sin no more. Mm-hmm. And it isn't just that, you know, he forgives us, but it still might be held against us. It's a complete forgiveness and a forgetting, a purposeful forgetting that I'm not going to hold that against you.
Yeah.
And I'm going to give you what you do not deserve, which is that inheritance.
Yeah. Mm. Inheritance is always something you haven't earned. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, I suppose a weird family situation where your maybe older brother deserved more, so he got more.
Right.
But if you think about inheritance, it's always something you didn't have before that suddenly now you have. Mm-hmm. You just had the right name.
Yeah.
I guess is how you think of it. But you're right. With inheritance comes this beautiful sort of, I guess, reiteration of he paid the price, mm-hmm. and you are the benefactor.
Right.
And inheritance is almost the same thing. Your predecessor paid the price. He was the one who made the money, or he was the one who inherited the had the wherewithal, the houses, the business, whatever. And now suddenly he dies and it's yours.
Right.
And you may not even know how to run a business, but it's now suddenly yours, you know, because that's in the way inheritance works.
Right.
And I totally agree. There's so much in inheritance that I think you could probably spend a day just talking about, okay, what else have we inherited? Well, we've inherited a sense of his presence. Mm-hmm. We've inherited meaning. We've inherited purpose. We've inherited the Spirit of God. And like you talked about, he seals us and making us aware of how much we actually do have, and constantly reminding us, that's the Holy Spirit's work in our life, reminding us of what we've been given.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. The Holy Spirit is a huge reminder of our inheritance. He seals what we have until the day that Christ comes, you know, and he's like, okay, well, what does that all mean? But I think basically it means he's the guarantor. He's the one that says, no, I'm here.
Yeah.
Because if I wasn't here, you wouldn't have life.
Right.
You wouldn't have anything you just read would not be to you, because I'm the one who brings it to you.
Right.
I'm the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if you go to the bank and you go to get a mortgage and they look at your finances and say, there is no way that we are giving you a mortgage. And then your dad walks in and says, I'll be the guarantee. Mm-hmm. And they know if or when you fall short, that guarantee is going to step up and cover it.
Yep. We're covered. Mm-hmm. That's very good. Right on. You mentioned in the message, you spent a little bit of time on Dietrich Bonhoeffer and his whole idea of cheap grace.
Yeah.
What a great topic. And, costly grace versus cheap grace.
Yeah.
I remember, too, when I first read those books and read through the whole idea of cheap grace. And it was hard to kind of get my head around it, because grace is grace. Right?
Right.
I mean, there are some arguments that say, you know, there's no such thing as cheap or costly grace. It's all grace.
Right.
But I think from Bonhoeffer's perspective, if I receive his grace, but then I don't care that I have received his grace, then it cheapens what I have received in that sense. Right.
Yeah.
But if I embrace what he's given to me, and I learn how it works in my life, well, now the cost becomes for me the proof of its genuine value. Right? It's genuine value. Grace is genuine value. It's not that it wasn't already genuinely valuable.
Right.
It's that my perception or my experience of its genuine valuableness, that's a word, suddenly now takes root in my life.
Right.
So I don't want to cheapen what I've been given. I don't want to have a cheapened experience of this amazing, lavished on me grace. I want to have the full experience that I can have.
Right.
And the cost and the sacrifice that he brought, the costliness of that grace, shows me that the way I can know that grace is actually through the same costliness. I have to give up so I can know his grace. I give up my life.
Yeah.
I surrender who I am. I give up what I want so I can have what he wants.
Right.
That's what grace is. That's the whole thing of this costly grace. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming that's part of it anyway. Mm-hmm. Where did you come up with that, or how did you come to that? Have you read that before somewhere?
I read the book a few years ago, and that dichotomy between cheap grace versus costly grace has stuck with me. And when I was studying this past week and really thinking through redemption and the price that was paid and how we're called to respond to that.
Yeah.
And recognize the cost that was given. It just made me think, wow, like how many times do I take advantage of grace? Mm-hmm. And not necessarily by saying, you know, I might, you know, I don't outright come out and say, well, I'm forgiven, so I'm going to go do this, this, and this because I want to, and it's going to be fun.
Right.
But it can be just in our day-to-day lives of what are we striving for? What are we living our life for?
Yeah.
And are we seeing Jesus as kind of that add-on?
Yeah.
That, you know, I have a pretty good life, but Jesus is that just that bit that takes it to, you know, takes it to the top.
Yeah.
Or am I recognizing that he took me from nothing mm-hmm. and gave me an inheritance?
Right.
And now my life should reflect that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That the way I live my life mm-hmm. should reflect the inheritance that he bought for mm-hmm. me.
Yeah.
And I think of the parable that Jesus tells of the man who found a treasure in a field.
Yep.
He says he covers it up and he goes and he sells all that he has to buy that field.
Yeah.
He had to change his life.
Yes.
He had to sell everything that he had so that he could afford that field.
Piece of property, yeah.
That piece of property. But he knew that the treasure that awaited him was far greater than that which he was selling.
True enough. Yeah.
And so in my life, in our lives, are we recognizing the value mm-hmm. of Christ? Yeah. Are we recognizing the value of that inheritance, the price that he paid mm-hmm. to secure that inheritance? And are we now living our life pursuing that inheritance, saying that is my greatest treasure, and that's what I'm going to spend my entire life pursuing?
Yeah.
Not just Sunday mornings,
yeah.
not just certain times, but all of me, my entire life.
Mm. You know, would it be fair to say it's kind of like a debt of gratitude? Mm-hmm. Like when I lived in the Philippines, they taught us before we went there, this culture is a culture of debt of gratitude. So if I do something kind for you, then I am obligated now to make sure that I pay back or at least maybe not to the level you gave, but at least recognizing that you honored me by giving me something. Mm-hmm. So that's the debt of gratitude. So and it has strong, strong ties, especially family ties.
Right.
So if someone has sacrificed for you, well, then it's almost like it seemed like from the outside, an observer looking in, it almost seemed like you became a slave to that person, even though technically you weren't.
Right.
But the pull, the obligation to respond to what was done for you is so strong. That's what it looked like. You didn't have any free will. You just, that was for me. Okay. Well, I now owe you my life.
Right.
You know, and I wonder, I think it's too negative to kind of attach that kind of mentality to grace because God doesn't look at us and say, you owe me now.
No.
Okay. He just says, use it.
Right.
Use the grace. Mm-hmm. I've given you this grace. It's for you. Yes, there is an obligation, quote unquote.
Right.
I'm doing my air quotes. You can't see them. But there's an obligation. But it's not meant to be lived out like that, kind of that Filipino way, where it's a debt of gratitude. I now owe you everything.
Right.
It's true that we do owe him everything, but our obligation is out of love.
Right.
And sometimes in those debt of obligations or the debt of gratitude stuff, it was a little fuzzy if love was the motivating thing there. Mm-hmm. It kind of felt more like the culture was saying, dictating, you have to do this. Mm-hmm. You receive something you owe.
Right.
And I didn't sense love in that. Not every case, but definitely most cases that I would run across or conversations that would go that way. So I think it would be fair to say it's kind of like a debt of gratitude, like in that culture. But it's bigger and more positive.
Definitely.
It's like, all right, I can sin. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
And I can find forgiveness, all in grace.
Right.
But do I want to?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now that's my question, because now Paul comes along and says later on, should I sin that grace may abound? Of course not.
By no means. Yeah.
So the possibility, though, is still there.
Right.
I can sin and still know his grace is there.
Mm-hmm.
And if I just live that way in that kind of muck and mire, well, then I am now experiencing a cheapened version of his grace.
Right.
Not because his grace is cheaper. It's just simply because my experience of it is very limited, because
mm-hmm.
I refuse to use the grace to help me live a good life.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, I'm happy just to sin and carry on and having my own way.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So I would think that there's probably Christians out there that maybe haven't thought much about this.
Yeah.
They've been given this lavish grace. Right. They've been given this redemption.
Mm-hmm.
They know they have it. They think, okay, I'm going to heaven.
Right.
But I wonder where it falls in their daily lives.
Yeah.
Do they actually practice the lavished grace mm-hmm. and respond out of like, wow, I've been set free. I've been given this great gift. Right. I've got to make sure I use it.
Yeah.
Or does it turn slowly into kind of the Filipino version of debt of gratitude,
right.
where I guess I should probably do this.
Right. I'm going to do my duty and have the church on Sunday.
Yeah. Right. Or do it out of just a simple, more of a, I guess an obligation is the best way to look at it,
mm-hmm.
which is still grace because the grace provides for you to do that.
Right.
But it's not experiencing the richness of that grace, the fullness, the power that's mm-hmm. in that grace. And the lavishness of that grace to help you.
Right.
Instead, you're limiting it just because you can't see past yourself.
Yeah.
I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's, you know, going back to what Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, you know, it's costly because it calls a man to give up his life.
Yeah.
But it's grace because it gives you the only life worth living.
Right.
And that's, I think what it's recognizing is that anything that Christ calls us to let go of
mm-hmm.
pales in value compared to what he calls us to.
Right. But in the process,
it doesn't always look like
it
that.
It doesn't feel like that.
Not at all.
And you wonder, is this all going to come out okay?
Mm-hmm.
But you relinquish control
right
to him.
Yeah.
And you're right. I don't think there's ever been a chance. Like he always talks about how, or Jesus talks about how, when you cast your bread out on the water, it will return to you
mm-hmm.
many fold kind of
right.
return, like running over and all that stuff.
Right.
And you think, you know, that's how most of us go in. We go in tepid.
Right.
We go in a little bit. If I do this, you know,
give
this up, got to give that up. It's all a don't do this and don't do that kind of feel.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to sacrifice. It's hard work. But then when I finally do it, it's like Jesus, didn't he talk about the birth pains of a mother?
Mm-hmm.
Like you would forget those because of the joy of what you have.
Right.
Right? It's not like you forget them. The pain of them goes away, subsides.
Right. Definitely.
Because what you have is a gift of life, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think there's a bit of a journey like that. And I wish that not only would I have started thinking more clearly about this way sooner,
mm-hmm.
But I wish many of my Christian friends who,
they
would talk like, they would just say, I'm forgiven. I can live this way. It's okay. It's all under the blood of Jesus. You
right.
know? Go and have fun.
Right.
Question mark. You know, are you ruining your life by making these choices?
Right.
Some of them have.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the grace is there for you to do that too.
Yeah.
You have the grace of God to actually ruin your life.
Yeah.
And that's not what it's meant for.
No, not at all.
But if you don't take advantage of it and live in the lavishness of it, you can destroy your life.
Yeah.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. Like I think, what does Paul say? Saved as though by fire.
As though by fire.
Yeah. Saved, but just barely. Smell of smoke.
Skin of your teeth.
Skin of your teeth. Smell of smoke.
Yeah.
Well, anything else that you wanted to cover from Sunday?
You know, one last thing I want to just remind people of, because no, I need this reminder. We've been given the Holy Spirit and he's there to remind us.
Yeah.
And if we call out to him,
yeah,
he will remind us.
Yeah.
We can get so caught up in so much else in life, whether it's failures or stresses or things that are out of our control.
Yeah.
And sometimes we just need that reminder. And we can know that if we have trusted in Jesus, we have been given his Spirit in our lives to be that reminder.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I just want to encourage anybody listening, if you are drowning, if you feel like you are overwhelmed, if you feel like you've messed up one too many times, ask the Holy Spirit. He's there to be your reminder of the inheritance that Jesus has purchased for you.
You bet. Yes. And also, I think even in that sense and in that regard, when you call out to him for forgiveness or for grace, the grace for you to turn your life around from the mistakes you've been making is equally as lavish as the grace that made you aware of the fact that you are. It just never ends, right? It's just constantly grace all the way. Absolutely. So true. One of the things I wanted to ask you a little bit about is this, this graphic experience that you took the church through on Sunday with a man who claims to be a prophet being told by God to go find a prostitute, marry her, have a few kids. She leaves and then he goes back. How much is he goes to find her, right? That was the thing,
right?
He go goes find to her. Go find her. And then he finds her finally. And it appears like she's obviously owned by a pimp or something.
Right.
And then the cost was paid so that he could buy her back to be his wife. And I mean, the dynamics of that whole thing are actually, you're right, it is scandalous. Grace is scandalous.
It's a hard story to talk about. Just because of the graphic nature of it. If we, you know, saw it played out in front of us today, not many of us would be able, I think, to watch. It would almost putting your head down and, you know, peering out of the corner of your eye. Is this really happening?
Is this really going on?
I think it just shows the magnitude, you know, number one, of what sin is, that it's ugly. It isn't pretty.
No. It, Jesus, it starts out that way, though.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Puts on a really good face. But it's ugly. But Jesus wasn't afraid to walk in the ugly and the dirty to save us.
Spectacular story.
Yeah.
Great illustration of who Jesus was in the midst of that, eh?
Yeah.
He is our Hosea.
Yeah.
He's the one who came and paid the price.
That's right.
He's the Savior. And we were lost and hopeless, being sold down the river by our decisions. No, it still staggers me that Hosea went along with the whole scheme.
Oh, I know.
What did his friends say? I know there's so many conversations around it that you'd love to have been a fly in the wall.
Oh, I know. Especially because when we remember God's standard of marriage.
Again,
he wasn't just saying go shack up with a prostitute. No, go marry her. All that entails.
Like,
covenant yourself with her. Give yourself to her.
I like what you did on Sunday. Like, what? Did I just hear you right? God, you can't be serious. There is no way that I will do this. But then I guess eventually he obviously did. He recognized what God was saying about unfaithful Israel is like this. And then you just pop out the name Israel and you put your name in there.
That's right.
Because Israel was a guy, right?
That's right.
Used to have the name Jacob.
Right.
And Jacob was a scoundrel. And that's you just think, okay, this is who he's talking about. Not just the nation of Israel, but me. Me and my waywardness. And if you put yourselves in the shoe of Gomer, you realize, pretty sad what I am capable of doing. And then realizing that my Savior had to come and get in the dirt with me to pull me out.
Right.
Yeah, so true. Good stuff. Great story. Well, I'm thankful for redemption.
Me too.
And I'm thankful that I have a God who is willing to pay the price for me so that I can live free, fully, and in lavished grace.
That's right.
Well, I think this week we have a break. We are taking a little break from our normal activity. We will have one of our missions people coming here.
Yes, looking forward to that.
So we may take a break and maybe talk about some other issues or something for the next one. But we'll be back in Ephesians after that. Yeah. Carrying on in chapter one.
Keep going.
That's right. All right. Well, thank you for joining us today. And I hope that you've been encouraged.
Yes.
And I just want to say too, like, you know, those of you who may be listening to us, if you're near us, don't be afraid to send us an email. If you've got questions,
reach out to us, please.
Yeah, reach out to us. Yeah. You can contact us here at the Hilton Alliance Church. You can call here. If you Google it, you'll find our website and you can contact us and we'll definitely reach out back to you and try to help you through any of the questions you might have.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Ryan.
All right, thanks, Kevin.
And good job Sunday. Loved it.
Thank you.
All right. God bless.
God bless. Thank you for joining us for this week's Pastor's Ponderings. We hope you enjoyed it, and we look forward to diving in again with you next week. But until then, keep loving God and serving people.